Amen, amen, amen. Listen, we're going to pray. I want to welcome everybody at each of our sites. If you're at Fenton, if you're at Grants Trail, you're at Mid Rivers, if you're here with us, if you're online, we're so grateful that you're here. But the really good news isn't just that there is a God who exists. It's that this God loves us and made a way for us to experience him. So let's pray now and see what he says to us today. Father, we come before you, and I'm asking that you would in many ways speak to us. Lord, I know for a fact that there are moments today where you will invite us to take that next step. I pray that we'll listen. I pray that you'll give us the courage to take that step, that you'll empower us to take that step. And God, if it's at all possible, I pray that we'll be able to do this together, that we'll be able to encourage each other. We're grateful for what you're doing in our midst. We're going to open your word. We're going to trust that you're up to something. Speak to us now today. We ask this in the name of King Jesus. Amen. All right, listen, while you guys have a seat, why don't you say hi to some people around you? Because we've been getting after it. Okay, let me ask you a question here. Do you think people can change? I mean, that was kind of I'm not quite sure that was 50% of the room. I don't know what it was like anyplace else. Let me tell you what doesn't work when it comes to change. Fear, guilt, shame, threats. Bribes don't work. Bribes don't bring lasting change. Parents, bribes don't work. When a dad says, listen, I'll pay you $5 if you stop teasing your sister, that doesn't work for very long. I guarantee you it doesn't work for the rest of the vacation. Bribes don't work. By the way, dads, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Yeah. We need you. We're grateful for you. But as soon as I say this, I also know that it's a loaded term, right? Like for some of us, we're missing our dads. For some of us, the whole idea of dad is wrapped up with fear and regret, maybe even anger. For some of us, it leaves an ache. Like maybe you and your wife are actually like in the middle of a quiet struggle for you to be a dad. I can think of all sorts of reasons where for some of us, it's just we're not sure what to do with this. Wherever you are, I want you to know this. You do not face it alone. You don't have to. There is a God who invites you to call him. There's a reason he invites all of us to call him our Father. And I'm going to tell you what, he loves you and that counts for something. We're going to see that today. In fact, when we talk now about change, when God gets a hold of a life, that's when things start to change. Now, I'm not just talking about forgiveness and the relief of knowing that I'm forgiven and I get to spend eternity with him. It is all of that, but there's even more. In fact, there's so much more that in July and August, we're going to talk like an entire series where we talk about more of this life that God is offering to us. I just can't wait for us to experience that. But right here in a really specific way, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to a church that he loves. These are Christ followers, remember that. And he says something that I think really important that would help us today. He says in Philippians, he says he believes, okay, so he's confident that he who began a good work, he's talking about God, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, this day of Christ Jesus thing is a phrase that means the like eternity future. It's like when Jesus stands at the end of history and just settles all accounts and deals with things. And so what Paul is saying here is that I believe that the God who started something in you, because you belong to him now, you've turned to him now, I believe that God is going to keep doing things and changing things and helping you along the way until that day, someday in the future. And if that's true, do you know what that means? That means people can change. You see, we're seeing it all over the place. There are people who are stepping into the water. You're hearing this now, that there will be people stepping into the water, young and old, everything in between, next week to tell the world, not that they're perfect, not that they've arrived, not that they have all of the answers, but that God has redeemed them and that they are standing with Jesus. And just so you know, in case you're curious, already we have over 300 people that will be stepping into those waters. Gang, I don't even know if you know what that means, but that is a miracle. There are people coming to Christ pretty much every day around here. It's just extraordinary. And so if you're one of those people, I want you to know that you will stand in the water drenched with God's pleasure. You are the beloved in whom he is well pleased. I just can't wait for you to experience it. Some of you are at a place where you're still considering that. As soon as we mention this, you kind of had this nudge, this tug on your heart. It's like, ugh. But there's also your mind is flooded with all the reasons why I'm not gonna do that. I just want you to know in the coming days, you have a moment, actually. You have a chance to follow him. Actually, I said coming days, I'm pretty sure it's midnight, right? Isn't that what we just heard? So I don't know if you're an April 15th kind of guy or gal, but we're there, okay? So please, just we would love to talk with you about this. And then there's some of you, honestly, you came to Christ a long time ago. And you were baptized in the Middle Ages, right? It's just been a long time for you and me. But you're in the doldrums now. There's no wind in your sails. There's no fuel in your tank. And so you see all of this stuff happening and you're like, I guess that's all at the beginning of your walk with Jesus, because I don't know that I can change anymore. And then there's some of you who are here and you're just trying to figure it out. Maybe this is your first time here and you're going, wait, can any of this really be true? And since we're all over the map on this thing, I thought we'd sort of chart it out and let me see if I can help us understand how we do change, okay? So the first thing is, if we're gonna talk a little bit about some of these, where we all are, there are many of you today who are in a kind of a searching stage. And when I say searching, you've got questions, you've got doubts that need to be resolved. Maybe you're a young parent and you're trying to figure out, what do I pass on to my kids? There's a moral framework that you want to give to your kids. So you're asking questions. Some of you are at a place, honestly, where you used to go to church, but not anymore. And you're not even sure that you can trust church because of some things that happened. It's like your faith has been deconstructed a little bit and you're trying to search and again say, could any of this be for real? Some of you have known for a long time that God exists and you have sensed that there's this distance between the two of you. But for the life of you, you can't figure out how to close the gap. Religion isn't working. How does this work? So you're searching. Now, there are others who really aren't really searching. They're skeptics at best, right? And then there's some who aren't interested at all in any of this. And we might call those atheists. But I will tell you what's really interesting is you're both here with us because you tell me you're here, which means we've got all sorts of questions in these rooms. And I want to say, if you're any place on that searching stage, when you're ready, maybe the next step for you is to just talk to one of us. And when I say talk to one of us, I'm giving you the easiest way to do that right now. It's the old-fashioned, just give us an old-fashioned email, okay? And just let us know and we'll talk with you. We don't have all the answers. We do not have all the answers, but there are people here who have found answers that are reasonable, answers that we're building our life on. There's evidence. We're talking this through. Maybe we can help each other. Maybe what you do is you'll hear about this later, but I cannot overstate how important a class called Explorations is around here. When you hear story after story after story next week, I promise you so many of them trace back to someone, whether it was a few weeks ago or a few years ago, who took this class and got some questions answered. I want you to know Explorations is for you. And then honestly, if all of that seems like too much, you can do this one. Just come back. Just keep coming back each week and we're gonna talk about this. And if you have questions, find one of us after the service. But there comes a moment in the searching stage where we get enough answers. Now listen to me, we never get all of our answers. We all have questions. But people will get to a place, even with their questions, where they know enough to say, there is a God, I'm gonna trust him. I want things to be made right. I think he has actually made this way for me. Now, how do you get from the searching stage to the personal stage? Well, I think surrender is a good word. We talked about it last week, remember? If you were here, anybody remember the chair? There comes a moment, Romans 10 says, you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. So this confessing with your mouth, it's important. Like you're clarifying what's going on. But Jesus isn't interested in lip service. So you believe in your heart. It's you. But then there is a moment when you rest in him. God, your own words, forgive me, Jesus. I need what you've done on the cross for me. Come lead me, rescue me. And you rest in him. Now, when you get to that place, I will tell you, you're going to have to face real squarely and honestly and realistically who you are. Like, that's a part of this. I love the way Tim Keller explains the gospel. Tim has gone on to be with Jesus in recent days. But this is how he puts it. He says, here's the gospel. You're more sinful than you ever dared believe. You're more loved than you ever dared hope. That's it. Now, I think that all comes together at the cross. You see, this is where it all begins to make sense to me, and this is where I ask Jesus to heal me and to forgive me. But it's at the cross when I come to him. It's the cross that helps me to live differently. It's the cross that helps me to love differently. Because now the rest of my days, they're going to be lived in the shadow of what Jesus did for me. So when I change, it's not out of fear. It's not out of guilt. It's not because somebody's chasing me down or shaking their fist at me. It's out of love. It's out of gratitude. It's out of joy. And there's this hope that starts to just rise up. That's how stingy people become generous people. That's how vengeful people become forgiving people. It's how regret turns to relief. It's how addiction becomes recovery. It's how fear becomes courage. It's how chaos becomes peace. Anybody interested in this? Here's the thing. Let's go a little bit further in his letter. This is the big verse that we're just going to look at and just learn a few things from. Some of you will have heard this verse before. Paul makes this point all throughout this little book. But he says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Now, there's a lot here. Let me just start with this context. Paul just says a few verses earlier, there's going to come a day when I die. And when I die, I'm good. Not because I'm hopeless, not because I'm wanting to die, but I'm good because I will see Jesus. And when I see Jesus, he's going to heal me. He's going to perfect me. He's going to complete me. That happens when I see Jesus. Now, I'm not there yet. So what Paul is really saying is, I haven't arrived. I can't wait for that day, but I'm not at that day. You with me? Which, by the way, makes Paul, even Paul, who wrote like half of the New Testament, Paul is a work in progress. Can the preacher get an amen from all of the people everywhere who are a work in progress? Okay, so you're even, maybe some of you are awkward with that. How many of you would say, I am a work in progress? Just raise your hand. How many of you are sitting next to someone who is a work in progress? How many of you are just sitting next to a piece of work? Yeah, no, let's not do that. It's Father's Day. All I know is that Paul is saying, listen, I'm not there. It's going to happen in eternity. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm going to keep working towards a goal. And if you're listening real carefully to what we've been saying the last few weeks, you might be going, well, wait a minute, I'm a little confused. Because you've been telling me that we don't work our way into religion. And it sounds here like Paul's working his way into salvation. Is this about religion? No. Paul says over and over and over again, salvation is God's work through and through. It's by grace that we are saved through faith, Paul says. It's not works. So that can't be what he's saying here. So what is he saying? There comes a moment when you turn to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you. And he does. And there's relief and there's freedom. Y'all ever noticed how many of our songs have the word freedom in them? We sang it today. Did you pick up on that? Just about every week. Freedom is in just about all of our, like that one chorus, I am free, praise the Lord, I'm free. We sing free all the time around here, which by the way means that we of all people, we who know true freedom, we ought to be able to celebrate and champion freedom whenever we see it, amen. So freedom, God gives us freedom, but Paul says there's this defining moment when you accept what God has offered and you now have direct access to God. Like the creator of the universe, you get to walk right into his office. It's even better than that. He's with you in such a personal way. This is mysterious, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is now like in your life, closer than close. This is how he speaks sometimes. This is how he nudges. This is how he empowers. This is how I grow. This is how I change. And so what Paul is saying here is that God is now so close, closer than close, that you're going to be on this lifelong journey with God. You're on the path now with God, and you want to become more and more like Jesus from the day you accepted him until the day, you know. I did that in a previous service and I loved it. This young girl just looked at her dad and said, "What does he mean?" And so there's dad going, "I think he means you die." And so they had a big, deep conversation. But that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You see, there comes a moment when you accept this grace. We know, according to Scripture, what's coming. And that's a crown. I know. Don't applaud. It would be embarrassing. But there's coming a day, according to Scripture, when you and I will see the King. We really do believe that. It's the only way that life makes sense to me. That there's meaning in this life, because at the end of the end of the end, there's hope, and God will deal with all of this. And so the Bible says that you will come to a place where you see Jesus, he is the King, and if you have trusted him, you're gonna be healed, you're gonna be restored, you're gonna be perfected, you're gonna be built and made for eternity in that moment. In fact, the Bible uses a fancy term for this and says it's in that moment that you'll be glorified. Like, you're not worth the glory. You're not worth anything, but God is just going to prepare you for glory and you're glorified. Now, the moment where you accept Jesus is when you are justified. And all of this time frame in between those two is what Paul is talking about. And this is when you are sanctified. And now some of you are mystified. Or maybe even horrified and terrified that I'm gonna continue to clarify what I just testified. Don't encourage me. I could keep going. This has now stratified in my bones. Some of you look petrified. We should stop. Here's the thing. What happens is there comes this moment where now the rest of your days, you're gonna keep learning what it means to be like Jesus. That word sanctify is a big fancy word. It's used in the New Testament by Jesus, by Paul. We're not going into all of it. This is what it works for me. I try to put the cookies on the bottom shelf, because if I can reach them, maybe you can reach them, okay? So here's the way I think about it. It's related to a word for holiness, but we're not holy. But what God is going to do in our days on this earth, once we have come to Jesus, is he's going to help us to become more like Jesus. He's gonna help us to become what we were intended to be all along, before the rebellion, before the brokenness, before the sin. God's gonna keep restoring us. Here's the way I put it to a whole bunch of pastors on the East Coast this week when we were at an event. Standing before you is a child of the King, learning from the King to be like the King. That's a little bit of what sanctification is. Paul is saying, I'm gonna keep learning in these days how to be more like Jesus, but I want you to understand it happens now. Paul is talking about now, not in eternity future, now. In case you don't know this, the world functions better when the followers of Jesus flourish now, when we live out our faith now, when we serve and love and forgive and champion and listen better than anybody else, when we are the people, when the world is better, when Christians flourish now. That's what Paul is saying. So here's how it works. You see, if we were really to just, Jesus does all the work here, right? And Jesus does all the work here. But in this sort of middle section, you and I are called to do some work. We're not earning our salvation, But we're called to do some work. God's gonna do the heavy lifting, but you and I are gonna get to a place. You want change to happen in your life? We're gonna have to exert some effort. We're gonna have to do this now. That's what we're called to. That's what Paul is saying. But let me give you a couple of quick thoughts. First of all, it takes a lifetime. He says it, how many times does he say it here? Not that I've obtained this, not that I've gotten this. It's not in my grasp yet. Paul is saying this. I haven't arrived yet. You know why? Here it is. You can't microwave growth. Just anything that matters to you, you pick it. Love, deepening relationships, healing, a legacy in this world. All of those take what? They take time. They take time. And I think Paul is saying this to us because he knows we're gonna get tired. And sometimes if we get tired, we do what? We lose heart. And if we lose heart, we do what? Well, we do what this little four-year-old did on a Monday morning on his way to school last fall. Now here it is, this is the security camera. And there it is. And there it is. Now mom posted this because of this wonderful woman who comes out and says, come on buddy, we can do this. Let's show this one more time because this sums up many of our Mondays. Yep, there's that, and then there's that. I think Paul wrote what he wrote because of that. I think Paul doesn't want us to be discouraged, but Paul wants us to be encouraged. Paul says there are going to be moments, but you gotta remember, it's gonna take a lifetime for your attitudes, your actions, your thoughts, your behaviors, your words to become more and more like Jesus. So remember, it's a process. And the second thing is, we've sort of inferred this, it's intentional. It's intentional. You don't get here by accident. You will not like be walking around one day and go, well, look at that, I just became patient. It doesn't work that way. You will not wake up and look at your spouse and go, honey, I don't know what happened in the middle of the night, but I am Christ-like. It just doesn't happen that way. You will have to take a step. You will have to be intentional. Paul is using athletic metaphors here. I don't have this, but I'm straining, I'm reaching, I'm focusing. This one thing, this is what I'm doing. Now, he's using like a running metaphor here, but you can apply it in different ways. What Paul is saying though is, I'm reaching out because I know God's not finished with me. Now, y'all remember a few minutes ago when I said that some of us have been lifelong believers, and I mean, we came to Christ earlier in our lives, would be a better way to put that. And we're stuck. I don't know how it happened. And maybe you used to be hungry for God's word, but not anymore. You used to not be cynical. You used to not like have an edge on everything you say. I don't know what happened. I just know what happens. And some of us get to a place where we actually do believe that God's done with us. You see all this stuff happening and all these great stories. Next weekend, you're gonna hear all these great stories. And if you haven't like messed up with, like if you haven't like taken apart this ugly lie, next week, you're gonna look at all of that and go, well, good for those kids. I guess that happens early in your journey. I'm telling you, you're not done changing and God's not finished with you. It is a lie from hell if you think once you have accepted Christ, once you have taken this step of baptism, that you're just done. God does not want you to just exist passively until you see him face to face. So Paul knows this. And Paul is telling us that there's more to this life. He knows he's not gonna be perfect in this world, but he's gonna keep moving forward. Now, let me just say this to those of you who are going to be baptized next weekend. I need you to know it's not just a mark on the wall and it's not like the high point. It's gonna be a very big high point of your life, but I need you to know it's not the only high point of your spiritual life. You see, if you step into the waters and you follow him, watch what God does. He'll call you to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. That's what life with God was intended to be. So let me just be like, I don't know how Del said it earlier here, with a pastory, I'm gonna be a little pastory. Is that what she said a minute ago? I wanna be a little pastory. If you have now stepped into the waters of baptism, you know what I'd do? Next thing I'd do is I'd open my Bible. Like, if you don't know what it means to read scripture, then talk to somebody about that. Let us help you with that. For some of you, it's going to be like taking the G1 course this fall. It will help you to know how we navigate this world. For some of you, honestly, this is really practical and you can do it this summer. Get your hands dirty. Like, volunteer for just one thing around here. Just one thing. I'm not making a lifelong commitment, but just one thing. You'll meet somebody, you'll know somebody. See what happens. And then the last thing, same thing I said before, keep coming back. Let's do this together. Let's just listen and let's see what God says to us. But there are some of us, it is time to take just one step. For those of you who are stuck, that step might be, it might be calling your counselor. It might be showing up at a meeting. It might be asking a pastor for prayer. It might be calling a friend and saying, you know, it's been a long time and I've forgotten to read God's word. Could we just like once a week, could we have coffee and just read the Bible together? Like, not a big, you know, could we just open his word? There's a step that you get to take and God meets you in that step. Men, can I talk to you for just a second? When we get into these seasons, and we all get into these seasons, we decide to do it on our own because we don't want anyone else to know that we're struggling. That's just who we are. I get it. Boy, do I get it. But even we were made to do this with other people. I guess what I'm trying to say to you on this of all weekends is do not settle for anything less than the bold, rich, deep, difference-making life that God intended for you. This world, this culture, this city, this church needs men of God and dads who will stand up and tell others who Jesus is and tell their kids that they're loved by God. So you love your kids boldly, and whatever you do, you tell them about your life with God. And here it is, here it is. Some of you are going, man, I don't have anything to say to my kids right now. Do not do this alone. Your step, big step, reach out to us. Quietly, privately, reach out to us and say, I'm one of those guys and I'm stuck. I got nothing. Because we will connect you with men and pastors who know what it is to walk this journey, and we'll do this together because God's not finished with you either. But I don't think he's finished with any of us. You see, God's gonna call you to these breathtaking steps, and he will meet you right there. And he will sustain you. Like, he even helps you to take the step. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna catch our breath. I kinda ramped up there for a second, so we're just gonna catch our breath. You're gonna do two things, because you've proven that you can do two things at once. You're gonna use the app. If you know how to use the app, just grab the app if you need to on the app store, but you're gonna vote. First thing you're gonna do is you're gonna vote for which one of these videos you would like to see next. We're only gonna see one of them. You're not getting much description there, but which one of these would you like to see? The top vote getter is the one we're gonna look at. I think they all three have to do with what we just talked about. That's the first thing you're gonna do. The second thing you're gonna do is to hang out with the people around you, or maybe meet somebody that you don't know that's sitting near you. Here's the big risk. You ready? Here it is. Why don't you tell the people around you what God is saying to you right now? Now, for some of you, part of that answer might be, I don't know, he's not saying anything to me. That's okay. It might be that I'm not explaining it well. For some of you, it might be because you're struggling with something or you don't trust what's going on. But can you just take the risk with the people around you and just say, hey, here's what God's saying to me right now about all this? Go ahead, talk to each other. If you don't want to do this, of course, you don't have to do any of it. But for those of you who are game, go ahead, vote, and then talk. Let's do it. I'm hoping this is a conversation that you guys will continue after you leave here, right? I mean, this is a good thing for us to keep talking about. What is God saying to us? Anybody got anything here that is appropriate for us all to hear? Like, what's God saying to some of you? Anybody? Keep coming back. Thank you for that. Say it again. I want to get hungry for the word again. I will tell you, that is a prayer God will answer, I guarantee. You take that step, how do I do this, God? And something starts to happen. Yeah, somebody said, I need to call my dad. Amen. You know, I just kind of told dads to express love boldly. Kids, let me just say this. Being a dad these days, tricky waters. Would you call your dad? Would you reach out to your dad and tell him that you love him and that you're cheering for him and you're praying for him? That'd be a cool step to take. You guys want to know what the vote getter was on the videos? Like number one, all three services, Sherpa. Like by a large margin, yes, Sherpa. Now, in case you have already seen this or haven't seen this, let me just explain. This is from Mount Everest, that Mount Everest. These Sherpas are these amazing Nepalese guides that take you up the mountain. This Sherpa sees a man who is dying on the side, takes him. That is a man strapped to his back right there. He is carrying him down the mountain. So they find this guy. He interrupts what he's doing to get up to the top of Everest. This guy is dying. They strap him in. He can't walk, and they can't even navigate him down something. They're hooking him up to oxygen. You can see it there. And this man literally, you know how we use that phrase? He literally puts this man on his back and rescues him. Are you all seeing the connection to what Jesus has done for you? You were on the side of the mountain, dead and left hopeless. And it was Jesus, because you couldn't do anything. It is Jesus who straps you to his back and walks you to freedom. Now that would be enough right there, don't you think? But there's even more. Think about it. When this guy gets down and he's rescued and he starts to come to life again, how's he gonna live that life? And what's gonna give that rescue meaning? He's not gonna live his life strapped to the back of that Sherpa, is he? I mean, what's that? That's not life. That Sherpa rescued him so he could live his life, which means when Jesus rescues you, Jesus is now saying, okay, you're free. Now live this life. But you don't have to live it like without him. You see, the Bible says, and Paul says it again and again in Philippians, it's God at work in you. It's God who is working in you. So you're gonna take these steps, but you're not taking them alone. And God's gonna lead you. God's gonna like lead you through his scripture. It really is one of the ways he speaks to us. God's gonna lead you through friends who also love God. God's gonna lead you in community. God's gonna also like nudge you personally. It sounds really subjective, doesn't it? Like, ooh, I just got something from the Lord. I was just telling somebody in a previous service. So you have a dream, you have a this, you have a that, and you're like, wow, is God speaking to me? First thing you do is you check and see, does it line up with scripture? Because if it contradicts scripture, then it was just the pepperoni pizza talking. But if it lines up with scripture, then you need to go, wait, God, is that it? One person explained it this way. God initiates and you respond. So God gives you these new desires, feed them. God talks to you about a mid-course correction, take it. God speaks, you listen. God initiates, you respond. You want change in your life? Understand that it's God initiates, you respond. It's both. The way that was explained by someone was it's kind of like riding a bike. Now, Marvelyn has so graciously agreed to do this. And I keep asking you, have you signed the release backstage? So are you? No, she didn't. So you're not only are you leading worship, but you're gonna help us make this illustration. So here it is. When you were learning how to read a bike, there was balance involved. There was trust involved. Maybe somebody's running along beside you. Eventually, maybe there's somebody here going, okay, come here. There's so much to it. But one of the things you had to do was you had to use both pedals. Guys, I want you to understand your life with God. If you want change to happen, God initiates and you respond. If you really, like you do this, God speaks and then you trust him. God nudges and you have the faith to take the next step. Does that make sense? That's how it works in this life. You know where all of the edges are that I want you to stay away from. Okay, so will you just illustrate this for us? So God initiates and you respond. God says, forgive, and you forgive. God says, that was a sin, then you repent. God speaks, and you listen. You see how that works? If you want change in your life, like if you want to see progress in your life, it isn't passive. It isn't just, well, Lord, you're just not doing anything. No, it is that moment where you say, God, speak to me. But when God speaks to you, then you respond. When God nudges, you take action. When God blesses you, you give him glory. When God says, call that person, you call. When God says, go on ahead and reach out, you reach out. When God says, this is that thing I want you to work on, then you work on it. God initiates, you respond. That's how you make progress in the spiritual life. See it? Marvelyn, thank you. This is your lovely parting gift, if you would like it. So yes, yeah, so thank you so much. Some of you are gonna ask at this point, yeah, but couldn't God just make us do all of this? And the answer is, of course, he's God. But somehow in his divine plan, God has said, no, I'm gonna give you freedom. I'm sovereign, but I'm gonna give you freedom. And you know what that means? If you choose to not work on your selfish ways, what happens? Not much, actually. But if you keep moving and you keep stepping into this and keep learning, then all of a sudden, all sorts of progress begins to happen. But remember what Paul said, I haven't arrived. I've still got stuff that I'm working on, which means, here it is, like years later, I'm still gonna be repenting. Not because I take sin lightly, but because I'm not there yet. Now, don't misuse that and say, well, you know, then it's none of it's worth it. No, what Paul says is, forgetting what is behind me, I press on. Now, he's using a running metaphor, but what he's saying here is that, like, if you're running full tilt, you can't run looking over your shoulder or you will trip and do a face plant, right? If we use our illustration here, Marvelyn can't look back. That would have ended in disaster someplace right over here. No, what she has to do is she can't even look at herself. She has to look out ahead to where she's going, and that's Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, don't misuse this passage because we're not saying deny your past. Some of us need to admit our past. Some of us need to confess our past. Some of us need to lament our past. That's how healing occurs in our lives. But some of us are so wound up in shame that we can't move at all, much less move into the future. Friends, I want you to hear me. If the cross means anything, it means that you can be forgiven. It means that this is not the end of you. It means that Jesus is saying, come on, there's more of you. There's more to this life. If you're looking at your life right now and there's a dream that has been destroyed or there's this regret that is just weighing you down and haunting you, if someone robbed you of innocence and you feel like now you are damaged forever, I just want to tenderly say, not if Jesus gets his way. So you keep your eye on Jesus and you keep asking him to break the stranglehold of your past. And Paul says, why I'm doing all of this? I'm forgetting. I'm forgetting as I go. I'm looking at Jesus and I will not be bound up by my past. God, please keep redeeming me. Pull me into this future. Now, I just made that sound like that was easy. I will tell you, in my own life, it's usually through clenched teeth, bitter tears, and really messy prayers that you would not want to hear. But God meets me and his peace shows up. Paul says, one last time, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Greg, you have no idea what I'm struggling with. You're right, but I know Jesus. I mean, I'm learning to know him. I'm getting better acquainted with him. And I think he's enough. By the way, Paul says right here, there really is a day when he's gonna call me home. And in case you're not seeing it, it's Jesus who's the prize. I don't have a formula. I got Jesus for you. He's the prize. And by the way, don't be embarrassed by this future talk. Don't be embarrassed by this mention of eternity. The Bible teaches it and we believe it. There will come a day when Jesus gets the last word and the word after that. And Revelation 21 says that it's Jesus who says, behold, I am making all things new. You want to know the power of the resurrection? That's when it fully happens. But until that day, I'm called to take one step and then the one after that. And God nudges me and God helps me. And that's how it works. For some of you, it is going to be calling a friend and saying, I don't even know what happened, but I miss you. For some of you, it's going to be calling a family member and saying, let's start with this. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? For some of you, it's going to be saying, I don't even know how to serve this person, but God, show me. For some of you, it's going to be praying. For some of you, it's going to be putting something aside or putting something in its proper place. It could be any number of things. All I know is that as God initiates and you respond, I promise you that he is there. He is right there. God is with you, and it will be worth it. So it's Father's Day. I'm going to end this with a dad story. If you've been around here for a while, like you guys here, and I see other people, you will know this story. You know this story. I think the last time I told a portion of this story was during the pandemic, which I don't think counts because nobody remembers those 3 years. So there's a mountain in Colorado that my family loves to enjoy and ski on. It's got great memories with friends and my girls learning to ski there. So there was a day when my youngest was at the top of the mountain. She'd learned how to ski, but she was tired. She's 5 years old. That's your prerogative when you're five. You get to say, done. Problem was, we were at the top of the mountain. And we were in a part of the mountain where there really wasn't any like way to get down the mountain with assistance. So that meant that she and her father were going to ski this mountain together, which was great. Loved it, wanted to do it. So we did this, and we're talking and we're giggling the whole way down. It's a long way. I wasn't paying attention. I don't oftentimes pay attention to those maps. It's just like, let's just ski. But we missed our turn. And I don't know if you know this about when you're skiing, like on a mountain, there is no reverse. You don't back up. So that meant the absolute only way that we were going to get down was to ski a black diamond together. So I told her the truth. Now, the good news is I'd skied this run many times. I knew everything about this run. And I said, honey, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. I'm going to be with you. Now, we're going to be really fine if you never mention this to mommy. But... I said, I know where the big moguls are. I know where it's going to be steep. I know where the edge drops off. So we're not going to get anywhere near that. I know how we're going to do this, but it's the only way you're going to get home. It's the only way. So let's do this together. And you know what? We did. And there were times that I was skiing behind her because I needed to make sure she was okay. There were times that it allowed for us to just ski side by side. And there were a few places where I said, I'm going to be in front of you and you have to go exactly where I'm going, okay? And we stopped and we rested and we talked and we laughed and I'm praying the whole time. But we made it. And I don't want to make too much out of this. But I kind of sort of think that my presence helped her a little bit. Because I let her. And I was cheering her on. And there came a point in our journey where she's actually doing more talking than I am. We're making it, Dad. We're getting closer. Can you believe we just did that? Dad, I'm tired. Can we stop for a minute? Dad, let's go. We're going to make it. And I began to watch this little girl navigate this. And I hope you're understanding. It was me there with her, leading her, encouraging her. We did it together. But you do see that she did it, right? You do see that the only way down was that she trusted her father and said, okay, let's go. But she did her portion of the work. You do see that, yes? But it dawned on me when we got to the bottom of the mountain and when I'm just kind of trying to make sense of this a little bit later, I was like, God, how many times? Like, if I can help her, In my own brokenness, in me, like imperfect, limited me as a father, if that can bring such strength in a moment like that, God, how many times do I ignore you and just stop on the side of the hill and plop back and go, that's it, I can't go any further because this is too hard and I'm doing it alone. How many times is God there with me saying, I'm here, son, let's do it, let's go, follow me, just take the next step and then the one after that and we'll make it together. This is the spiritual life. Some of us will never know what it is to be sustained by God in moments that'll take your breath away until we take that next step. I don't know what that next step is for you. For some of you right now, it is a step towards freedom. Don't wait any longer, please. Jesus did this for you. Come talk to a pastor at each of our sites, down front, in the lobbies, outside, wherever, and say, that's it, I'm done, I need Jesus. This is your step today. Some of you, it is time, and it's close to being past time for you to step into the waters with, and let the whole world know that you follow Jesus, that you're with him. If there's anything we can do to help with that, come on. For some of you, you're searching. You're skeptical, maybe even cynical about this. I say, keep coming back. Let's figure this out together. Come back next week and hear some stories. And for some of you longtime believers, I don't even know what the step is, but you know Jesus. Ask him, God, what's my next step? I'm stuck. He'll give you a nudge and then take that step. All I know is that I want to know and experience the power of the resurrection, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to experience that in my life now. Now, I know that I won't fully know that until eternity future when I get to see Jesus face to face. I really do believe that. God be praised. I get to see him face to face. But until that day, I want to know the staggering power and presence and love of Jesus now. That's the spiritual life now. God will meet me now. God says, take a step, trust me, and I will meet you there now. This is how change happens. And when you take that step, I promise you, there will be days and there will be moments that you know, that you know, that you know that you're Heavenly Father is there with you. And so now, one last time, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you believe that, then take your next step. God, give these people courage. Give them a sense of your presence. Remind us these days that you're not finished with each of us. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.